To Live with Passion and the Teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazenia, the host of Live with Passion. So glad that you tuned into the program, and I'm praying that God will speak to you as I proclaim the Word of God to you. This comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4. It's a very famous verse. He said, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound in any In all circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty, hunger, abundance, and want. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me." Wanted to share with you about a life-changing experience I had when I was 19 years old. Here I am, a freshman in college, and had everything going for me. I was young, healthy, pretty good-looking, had being educated, had girlfriends, partying life. But the interesting thing is, I was waking up in the morning and I heard a voice that was telling me that I wasn't happy. And I was thinking, you know, what in the world is this? I'm doing everything I can to be happy and my conscience is telling me that I'm not happy. And by the way, that was the first time I ever heard God speaking to me through my conscience. Now, in retrospect, I realized that. So I started to do what I needed to do to be happy. And I found out, and to me, this is the secret of happiness, I found out that I wasn't happy because I was all about me. And I was invested in myself. And I was selfish at that time in my life. And yeah, I was healthy, and I was being educated, and I was partying, and I had girlfriends, but really, I was doing what the culture told me to do to be happy, but I wasn't having any kind of a relationship with God. And I wasn't doing anything to help people. I want you to get this, because that thread that I just talked to you about really is the secret of happiness. One time somebody came up to Jesus, I think he was a lawyer, and he said, "Master, what's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus said, "Here it is. Hear, O Israel," he said, "listen, the greatest commandment is this, that you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and you love your neighbor as yourself." You know what he was doing? He was giving us the key to happiness. He didn't say it there, but in my life experience, this is the key to happiness, that you fall in love with God and that you reach out to people and make a difference with your life. And you will see happiness will bubble up within you. Joy will bubble up within you. Because I'm telling you, that's the key. If you're selfish, if you're just trying to get money for yourself, if you're just trying to do everything that the culture tells you to do to be happy, it won't happen. Enough will never be enough. No matter how much you get, it still won't make you happy. But spend time with God. Let His Holy Spirit take control of your life. Start loving people and reaching out to people. And wow, the joy will bubble up. There are times after I preach on the road or preach on television or write a book, I start laughing because there is this joy, this happiness that I never knew before. And it's not a hard thing to do. You just simply give your life to God and reach out to people. And I love what Jesus said. It will overflow and fall into your lap. The abundance, the grace, the goodness. But I do want to share one thing with you, and I want to make sure you get this. We will never be completely happy on earth. I hope you got that. Because most people say, oh, you can be happy, you can be totally happy and all that. Well, not really. Because our hearts were made for heaven. Our hearts were made for the beatific vision. That's when we come before God. So don't think, well, wait a minute now, I'm a believer and I'm reaching out to people and I'm doing things. How come I still have this hole in my soul? Well, we're all going to have it until we get to heaven, because I'll tell you, God has given me some glimpses of heaven. That's called wisdom, and I'll talk about that in another episode. God has given me some glimpses, and trust me, we are not going to be happy until we go to heaven. But for now, we can be pretty happy, and I want you to have the fullness of happiness. You are called, that's the name of this series, you are called by God to a personal relationship, to being like Jesus, to reaching out. You are called to be happy. So, here I am as this young man, and I'm not happy, and I knew I had to do something about it, and that's when my life changed. I started seeking God and helping people. The rest is history. Deep within you and deep within me, we all have what I call a happiness meter. And I go like this, because it's like a gas tank. If you've ever seen the gauge on a gas tank, it has empty and full. And there's the gauge, and it tells you how much gas you have in your tank. Well, the same way, deep within us, it's really not hard to figure out. If you look within, we all have this meter, and it's telling us I'm happy or I'm not happy. And listen to that. That is something that God put in us, that meter, that gauge, because when I found out that I wasn't happy, that's was the motivation, the drive, if you will, that started me on a path toward God. You know, if you're completely happy and or relatively happy and you're really comfortable in life, you're not going to seek God. Because why do you need God? Well, I wasn't happy and I admitted it to myself. And a lot of people aren't happy, but they're not admitting it. And they're drowning in alcohol or other addictions and they're in denial. And I wrote a book about that called There Is a Solution, where I talk about, are you happy? And one of the reasons why people get into addictions is they're not happy. So my point is, listen to your heart. Let your conscience be your guide. God speaks through your conscience. That's one of the places that he speaks. So I wanted to share with you about happiness. Let's look at this, because a lot of people are not happy, and we're all familiar with the concept of it anyway. And it has to do with happenings, happiness, happenings, same root word. And if you're happy, it's you feel pleased, you're content. You might not be laughing hysterically, but you're pleasured, you're okay, you're at peace. So you have happiness. But as I said, it comes from a root word having to do with happenings. For example, we wish people happy birthday. If it's their birthday, we're hoping they're going to be happy. I'm happily married, people talk about. It's their marriage that brings them happiness. There's other kinds of happy situations, happy New Year, happy anniversary, and Disneyland is supposed to be the happiest place on earth. They even have a happy meal at McDonald's. There was even a song out on the radio by Pharrell Williams, and it was called Happy. And it was a big hit, snappy finger type song, and he kept singing, because I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like you're a room without a roof, I'm happy. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth, I'm happy. And happiness is the truth. That's one of the reasons why it became a number one hit. But happiness, and I really want you to get this, happiness is more than circumstances. Please get this. Happiness is more than having a happy meal or a happy marriage or going to Disneyland or having a happy New Year. Happiness is more than that. It's more than circumstances. And let me tell you about a story. One time in Rome, when I was studying there back in the year 2003, I had the opportunity to take a sabbatical, and I went all the way over to Rome. It was a three-month program, and I studied at what's called the North American College in Rome. I was there with perhaps 50 other priests. We studied theology and scripture and liturgy and different things like that. It was a beautiful program, and it happened right where Catholicism, the seat of Catholicism there in Rome. So I remember one of the first mornings that I woke up, and here's this dormitory with about 50 rooms, and we all shared a common bathroom. And I remember I woke up and I came out of my room and I was getting the sleepies out of my room, and all of a sudden I see a janitor standing there, and he was standing there with his mop, and he goes, "Buongiorno." That means good morning in Italian. And I said, "Good morning." And I'm thinking to myself, what's he so happy about? And I went to the bathroom, went back to my room, forgot all about it. The next morning, come out of my room again, and it was right by the bathroom where my room was. And again, it's him. And he goes, "Buongiorno." Now, you can do that to me once that early in the morning and have such a good attitude, but not twice. So I said, "What is your name?" And he goes, "Paolo," because he's Italian. And I tried to communicate with him because I don't speak a whole lot of Italian. But I said, "My name is Cesidio." Cesidio is my Italian name. Cedric is the anglicized version of Cesidio. I said, "Nice to meet you." And it struck me that at first, maybe he was a little off because he was so happy and he was a janitor. And that's not to denigrate janitors' jobs. But he had to clean all the toilets that early in the morning, and he's happy. And that really struck me. Well, I found out that that's the way he always was. He was consistently happy. He had a good attitude, was glad to have a job. He had a wife and children, learned a little bit more about him. Well, that really struck me, that whole thing about it's not your circumstance, it's your attitude toward your circumstances. There was another incident that happened, and that's down in the kitchen at the North American College. I used to go down there because I would get hungry frequently, and I'd just go down there looking for a banana or an orange or something to get something to eat to tide me over between the meals. And the woman in the cook in the kitchen, she was a little bit different. She was very upset and angry if anybody invaded her territory. And she would let you know it. I would go in there looking for a banana. All of a sudden, she'd be slamming pots and pans and doors and drawers. And I came to realize that she didn't want me in that kitchen. But I wasn't the only one she had a problem with. Other priests would talk about her and seminarians. We would sit around the table and we'd kind of jokingly talk about maybe we should get an exorcism book or something because that woman needs some help. Well, one day we were all sitting there eating dinner and I heard laughter coming out of the kitchen, first time ever. So I snuck over to the kitchen door and it had a window in it. You've seen those two double doors that they have in kitchens. I sneak over to the kitchen door and I look through the window. Paolo is in there making this woman laugh. He was doing what 100 priests and seminarians couldn't do, bring joy to this woman. That's the way he was. He lit up a room. He had joy, he had happiness, even though his circumstances weren't the best. When we left the seminary that time, after the program was over, they had an evaluation. And most of the priests, they all evaluated, you know, the classes and being in Rome and the teachers and what that was like. In my evaluation, I put promote Paolo. He was one of the highlights of this whole thing for me. His attitude, the way he was, and what he taught me. And I am hoping that he is promoted. Speaking of Paolo, let me tell you about another Paul, Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was thrown into a Philippian jail for preaching the gospel. And jails at that time were horrible, miserable, deplorable places, rat-infested, cold, dark, dank, and awful. Well, here he is for preaching the gospel, he and Silas, and they're preaching the gospel and they got thrown into this Philippian jail. Now, it's midnight. You've probably heard this story. It's from the Acts of the Apostles. It's midnight. And they're in there not moaning and groaning like the rest of the prisoners. They're in there at the midnight hour in these deplorable circumstances singing and praising God. And you know who was listening? The prisoners were listening. And you know who else was listening? God was listening. And how do we know that? Because very soon after they started praising, boom, tremendous earthquake, doors burst open. Paul is free to go. And that's the way it is. When you have a good attitude, when you spend time thanking God, as Paul wrote, in all circumstances, doors will open for you. Maybe you're unemployed right now. Maybe you're going through a difficulty with a relationship. I can tell you this, maybe you're not feeling too happy. But if you, despite your feelings, praise God, thank God, worship God, doors will open for you. And somebody else was listening. And you know who was listening? The jailer. And how do we know that? Because he comes to Paul and he says, what do I got to do to be saved? In other words, what do I got to do to be like you, to have that joy, to have that happiness? You've got something that I want. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus, and you and your household will be saved. Whoa, that's one of the most beautiful verses in the scripture. It's not your circumstances, folks. It's not your surroundings. It's your attitude toward your circumstances that brings happiness and joy. It's not being a janitor, being a lawyer, being a priest. Those are all great things. It's your attitude toward it. And show them your happiness by smiling at them. I love what Mother Teresa said. The beginning of love is a smile. It's energy toward people. And you get that, as I said, by loving God, loving people. So, studied in Rome, taught me a lot of beautiful things. But the one thing that I really got from Paolo was that you need to have a good attitude no matter what you're going through. Joy is such a witness. I remember one time I heard a story about Cardinal Dolan. He was the Archbishop of Milwaukee. He wrote a book called Priests for the Third Millennium. He was showing a friend of his the seminary there in Milwaukee, and the friend saw a group of seminarians at a table, and they were all laughing and having a good time. And so his friend said to the Archbishop, he said, "Are those young men over there, are they seminarians?" And the Archbishop said, "Yes, they are." And his friend said, "Well, it looks like they're having a good time, that they're happy." And the Archbishop said, "That's because they are happy." And that's such a witness, that the call to service is really what makes you happy. Reaching out to people, giving yourself to God. And if you're not happy, take a look at that in your life. It's really important. Are you giving God the time, the first fruits of your time? Do you have a cause? Are you reaching out to people? The hard circumstances in your life, are you letting them overwhelm you? Or are you having a good attitude toward them? Paul was in prison, yet he praised God at the midnight hour. And as I said, promote Paulo. God promoted Paul. His writings, his teaching became a lot of the New Testament. We all know about Paul the Apostle. And what promoted him was his attitude. It's not just your circumstances. It's not just your happenings. And I really want you to get that. Paul was telling us it's our attitude. Remember Sheryl Crow had this song out. It was called Soak Up the Sun. Great wisdom. She had this one verse. It's not having what you want. It's wanting what you've got. So strive to be content. Paul said, I've learned the secret of being content. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As I said, you know, even if you have a lot of money, money doesn't buy you happiness, but even if you have a lot of money, you want more, or the money doesn't bring you the happiness, no matter what kind of a car you have or how much money you have or how many good things you have, eventually you get used to them. That's called attenuation. You get used to it. You always need more to bring you greater happiness. So really, it has to do with God and people. I remember it was John the Baptist who said to the soldiers around him, he said, don't cheat people. Be content with your wages. And what was he saying? Be happy with your life. The pandemic is going on, or at least it is as I'm filming this. Many people have lost their job. And I want to tell you, I understand that it's hard. But I can also tell you this. If you have a good attitude toward it, if you thank God in it, if you keep praising God and not being angry at God and blaming Him, eventually, just like Paul was released from prison, doors will open for you. And the other thing I want to say is, be content with the job you have. Always be ambitious and striving for more, but enjoy your journey along the way. Enjoy where you are on the way to where you're going. Don't complain and be bitter, but give thanks. I can tell you right now, because 30 million people are out of work right now just in the United States, people would die to have your job. You may be bored with it. You may have had enough with it. But the bottom line is you have a job. Give thanks. Your attitude is so important. Sit down and talk to yourself about it. My dad taught me a lot about attitude. My dad was a carpenter, and I used to go to work with him. I remember we would ride in this big Dodge van, but it was an old van. And it was kind of rickety. He had all his tools in it. One time when we were driving, I looked at him, I said, Dad, I said, you do pretty well in terms of making money. You're very busy and you do a great job. Why do you have this piece of junk that you drive? Why don't you get something new and that'll make you happier? And he looks at me and he says, Cedric, he said, I'm happy with this. I don't need to have a brand new truck to be happy. And I thought to myself, you know, I want what he has. I want that contentment about life. And my dad rubbed off on me. I've come to realize that attitude isn't everything, but it's a lot. And a good attitude really does lead to a high altitude. Be content with your car. You don't have to have a brand new one all the time. Be content with where you live. Be content with your marriage. And that's the secret, that in Christ, we can have contentment. Happiness isn't just the happenings of your life. I want to talk about joy. Jesus prayed that we would have joy, that His joy would be in us. Now, I want to make a distinction very quickly between joy and happiness. Happiness is more based on circumstances, but joy is something that's not fleeting, something that stays, something that's God-given. That's why when you love God and you do God's will, you have this bubbling inner delight that is joy. Remember what it says in the book of Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord will be your strength. And what is the joy of the Lord? Number one, knowing that you are loved by God. I had a friend of mine who helped me. He was a Catholic priest who was in television, and he helped me to get on television. His name was Father Mike Manning. He always had a saying at the end of his program, may God's love for you make you smile. I thought that is such a great saying to have at the end of your program. May God's love for you make you smile. And it's so true. Because you are loved, it brings a joy. There's 7.8 billion people on the face of the earth, but God loves you individually, passionately, and affectionately. And there's great joy in that. That's not based on circumstances. That's something that lasts. God's love lasts forever. And then, of course, there's the joy of knowing that you're forgiven. You don't have to make up for your sins. Jesus died on the cross to earn us forgiveness and mercy. You can't buy that. That's a gift of inestimable value. That's the joy of the Lord. And then, of course, the joy of salvation, knowing that we have a glorious future in heaven because we're saved. No money on earth can buy that. That's what I was looking for as a young man. That's why I wasn't happy, because instinctively I knew I didn't have God, I wasn't loving people, and I wasn't on the way to heaven. And I'm praying that the joy of the Lord will be your strength. Look at the happiness meter that you have in your heart and be honest with yourself. Where am I? Where is it? And if you're not happy, let that drive you. Let that motivate you to a deeper relationship with God. Have a good attitude in your circumstances, because in Christ you can do all things who strengthens you. But most of all, I am praying that you will love God and people and know that bubbling over joy that is your strength. Don't just live, live with passion. This is Father Cedric Pizania. Thank you so much for listening to my program. I hope you are inspired by my radio program. My goal is to reach out to you and to all with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I invite you to visit my website, www.frcedric.org. That's fathercedric.org. On my website, you can watch my television programs, you can listen to more podcasts, you can make prayer requests that come directly to me, and much more. I have many resources to help you in your Christian life. My resource phone is 844-FATHER-C. That's 844-328-4372. Please feel free to call. Thank you again. Don't just live, live with passion.